You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is it too late in the process, though, to change that?
Nothing's too late, bro. Everything's made up in politics.
The Wire. As the conflict in Gaza continues, international calls for a ceasefire have also been highlighted. Along with calls for a ceasefire, talks between Israel and Hamas have continued for months, despite disruptions. However, Dr. Ritesh Shah says a ceasefire alone is not enough to address systemic issues within the region. Dr. Shah's research is into the well-being and education of children and young people in Gaza. I spoke to him about humanitarian efforts and ceasefire talks, as well as what else the international community could do to contribute to lasting peace in the region. The global attention towards Gaza was particularly increased last year. However, how had humanitarian efforts been going before then in the region?
It was quite challenging even before October 7th because the Israeli authorities do control all of the borders into and out of Gaza. That makes it really difficult for humanitarian actors to get materials and supplies into Gaza. And in addition to that, there's the kind of constant cycle of conflict and destruction that happens every couple of years. And when it's so difficult to bring in things like building materials into Gaza following those periods, it makes it increasingly challenging to continue to provide services, in addition to which it's very difficult for humanitarian workers to get in and out of Gaza to be able to do that work.
So even prior to the attacks, were we looking at a deterioration of access to humanitarian services?
Absolutely. It's been an ongoing challenge and struggle for the humanitarian community in Gaza. They've been very vocal about those challenges and all of their kind of engagement with whatever they do in Gaza has to go through specific Israeli authorities, and they need to work in coordination with them to get anything that they want done in Gaza, including, you know, permissions for staff to enter in, people like myself, researchers, but also materials, supplies, resources. All of that has to go through the approval of the Israeli authorities.
This year, the global attention towards Gaza was particularly focused on ceasefire talks in the region. What kind of impact could a ceasefire have on both the conflict now and historical tensions in the region?
If I'm brutally honest, I would say probably negligible. We need to keep in mind that a ceasefire is a cessation of the immediate violence, but it's not addressing the kind of underlying causes that have created the conflict in the first place. And those underlying causes will remain unaddressed as long as there is no concerted attention and effort to really the aftermath of what occurred after the creation of the State of Israel. And we need to keep in mind specifically with Hamas, who have been ruling Gaza since 2006, that they came about as a group that stood in opposition to the peace agreement that was signed in 1993, the Oslo Accords, between the PLO and the Israeli authorities and brokered by the United States. The reason they opposed it is because they saw the way that the agreement was set out as kind of stacked in the favor of the Israelis, and specifically undermining Palestinian self-determination, autonomy, and control of their lands. And so since that point, Hamas has been kind of engaged in kind of armed resistance by any means necessary to that kind of a peace agreement, arguing that it's not actually to the benefit of the Palestinian cause. And I mean, we can see that there are some grounds for that concern to be kind of validated. So if we look at, for example, what's happened since the time of the Oslo Accords in 1993, when Oslo was signed, there were 110,000 settlers living in the West Bank, and today there are 485,000 settlers. So that's increased by, you know, more than three times. And the number of settlements has also doubled, 128 settlements in 1993, and now 300 settlements. And that's just in the West Bank. And then we need to think about the increase in the settlement of East Jerusalem, which was seen as the kind of capital for the Palestinian state, but also the entire blockade of Gaza and effectively splitting off West Bank and Gaza from each other, when in fact the intention was for them to be a kind of continuous piece of land where Palestinians could go back and forth between. So there's quite a lot of, I guess, unresolved grievances, both as a result of the 1993 Oslo Accords, but even prior to that, what happened in 1948 itself.
So in place of a ceasefire, I guess, what kind of action could be taken both by these parties and by the international community to address these tensions and improve things moving forward?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that a ceasefire isn't an important thing as a kind of immediate step in terms of getting humanitarian aid and support in. But I don't think it's going to resolve the underlying conflict, nor do I think the recent assassinations that have been carried out by the Israelis are going to necessarily undermine or change the ideology. And Israelis have gone before and assassinated political leadership of Hamas. And Hamas has managed every time to regroup because it is, as I said, an ideology. And that ideology is still very strong amongst the Palestinian community, but also amongst some of its allies in the region. I think the reality is that until there is a real change of tone in terms of the international community's steadfast support for the Zionist project that's being carried out by the current government in Israel, and a decision to really condemn what's happening and to also withdraw resources and support for arming the Israeli state and for supporting its industries and economy, I don't think that the situation is going to change. So I do think that there is going to need to be active engagement from our government, who has been very tepid in its response to what has been happening in Palestine over the last several months, but also particularly allies like the United States, the European Union, and others who have continued to fund and support the Israeli war machine. So I think that's the main thing that needs to change. And I think until there really is a voice from the international community, but kind of precipitated, I think, by all of us as citizens, as people who can be in touch with our MPs, as consumers in terms of what we buy or don't buy, in terms of investors, what we invest our money in and not, I think that the situation as we see it is not going to change.
Yeah, and what are some of the other actions people living here can take to increase their knowledge and to support the humanitarian efforts?
Yeah, so I mean, I think within the University of Auckland community, there are a couple things that that we're trying to undertake right now, and it would be great to see more momentum and support behind these things. One is an effort to really challenge the University of Auckland Foundations, who are the two entities that control the university's sizable endowment, to take a stronger stance and divest from any entities that are involved in human rights violations. And this isn't just around a boycott of, for example, the Israeli state, but also of other states that are complicit in acts of genocide and human rights abuses. And we feel that the university needs to take a stance on this because it's against the university's values. But I think it extends to educating ourselves about what's happening and not seeing things from a kind of ahistorical perspective. It's very easy to look and see what's happening since October 7th with horror on both sides. But we need to understand in a deeper way why and how these things have arisen. And this is something that we're trying to do currently at the university through a seminar series where we're bringing together students and staff to really deepen the understandings and discussions around how the situation that we're seeing today has come about. And we welcome others to come and join us. And we're meeting every Thursday for the next few weeks to do so. The other things I think as wider Kiwi citizens we can do is, of course, yes, we can donate to humanitarian organizations that are trying to get supplies in. But the reality is that they are all struggling to get things into Gaza and getting things deployed there. And that means that we need to be putting pressure on our political leadership to, as I said, take a stronger stance, condemning the actions of the State of Israel, not only calling for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire, but also saying to the State of Israel, enough is enough. It's time to think about a more permanent solution to the issues that are occurring in that region.
That was Senior Lecturer at the University of Auckland, Dr. Ritesh Shah, speaking to me about humanitarian efforts and ceasefire talks in Gaza.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.